All right, heading into our last hour, all the lines are taken, even before we could even take a call right there after giving the number. So it was like you all decided to possess the phones, but that's fine. We'll get to as many questions and answers as we can. Matt Baglio, The Right, perhaps you've seen the movie. You should read the book. You can link up to him through coasttocoastam.com or hang on. We'll get your calls coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet. Matt Baglio taking your questions live from Rome on Coast to Coast AM. We'll start with Mark on the all the way on the other side of the country in California on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Ian. Thank you for taking my call. I work in the mental health field. I work at a residential care facility. I work with individuals who have everything from OCD to autism, schizophrenia, and things of this nature. And I have been working for the last couple of years with a young man whose parents are extremely religious. They just returned from a two-year mission for their church. And during this time, their son, who was in our care, begin to show some degree of improvement, having conversations and so forth. But since they've returned and since he's being reintroduced into a more frequent schedule of religious activities, he's began to manifest more and more symptoms that look like maybe a split personality disorder or schizophrenia or something like that, where he will have conversations with himself speaking in one voice and then he answers in a deeper, more sinister voice. And it's a little spooky, and it's not something we haven't seen before, but I sometimes wonder, I remember hearing at some time in the past, one of your previous guests some time ago, had said that there had been some evidence that individuals who are suffering schizophrenia symptoms like that had actually experienced some degree of cure by undergoing an exorcism. And I wonder if, Matt, if you'd seen any evidence that that was true, and if there was any way to clinically support that condition.
Well, thanks for your question, Mark. I mean, I can kind of see two things going on here. One is something that exorcists see a lot. You know, this idea that if a person's very religious, and it happens, of course, very religious people come to see exorcists, and they hear voices, and they may be schizophrenic, so they may characterize those voices as being demonic or religious in nature. I mean, it's only natural. Another thing could be that I don't know this child's case, but the idea that if he's exposed to a particular worldview involving demons and these kind of things, well, he may react, he may act out using, you know, those cues. That's something that a psychiatrist could better diagnose than me, because exorcists do see that. You know, they see people who come to them who have are in very religious families, and they'll, of course. And this is something also that anthropologists have seen in Native societies. There's certain places where, for instance, if you look at women, certain societies where it's very male-dominated, a woman's only chance to empower themselves is through acting out as being possessed. As strange as that may seem, it allows them to, you know, to do things that they wouldn't normally do. It could also be a call for attention. So all these things could be natural reasons. The second part of your question being, can an exorcism, can a ritual help somebody who's schizophrenic? Well, I ask psychiatrists these kinds of questions. If they're truly suffering from a mental illness and it's diagnosable that they are schizophrenic, then I would say no. They shouldn't undergo something like an exorcism, which is a very particular ritual that could cause a person to see themselves as being evil, see themselves, cause of their problem being spiritual when it's not. They could see a priest, they could see a pastor, whomever, who could pray blessings over them, who could comfort them, you know, who could make them feel like they were being helped. Those kinds of rituals do help when you have somebody who is actively getting involved in somebody's spiritual care. People, studies have shown, they also it also benefits when they are undergoing therapy, because they get become more motivated with the therapy if they're feeling like they're in a healing environment of other people are caring for them. So I think in that case, if he's diagnosable as a schizophrenic, suffering from OCD or some other thing, then it probably wouldn't help him to undergo an exorcism.
And yet I've heard that similar claim too, that just the ritual of being rid of something is enough to, if you will, kind of fake it till they make it, that it gives them a toehold on those inner thoughts because it externalizes an internal struggle. You know what you mentioned, just because you talked about women empowering women, that is the story behind the Salem witch trials, that the young girls that were claiming to have been cursed by the woman who lived on the outskirts of society, and then all of the other craziness about all the witch stuff that came out, this was their way of being heard, you know, that they acted possessed. They were suddenly, they were taken seriously at a time like that.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, please.
No, so I'm just saying, so that is definitely something that exorcists need to be aware of, priests need to be aware of. So this isn't just a mental illness versus natural causes. I mean, this is something that's also behavioral. You also need to be a little bit savvy when you're seeing people. You need to look at the family, which is why they tend to meet with the family. Some don't. They should probably, but it's a bigger picture than just, okay, that person's suffering from mental illness, that person isn't. It could also be, in this case, where a person is being repressed for whatever reason, and they're using this phenomenon as a way to empower themselves.
John is in Santa Barbara, California, on Coast to Coast, wild card for Matt Baglio. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Matt, first of all, it's not Baglio, it's Baglio.
You know what, John, I asked before we started the interview, so before you correct me, just know I understand Baglio would be the Italian pronunciation, but Matt chooses to be called Baglio, so I'm going to go with that, if that's okay.
That's my Americanized name. Here in Italy, it is Baglio.
It is Baglio, so. But I asked him, John, so go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that because I lived in Rome, so, you know, and I had a lot of friends in there, and I played.
I lived in New Jersey. I picked it up when I was in New Jersey. That's why I asked him how he wanted me to pronounce it. So even in America, some people call it Baglio, but go ahead, John.
No, it's actually Baglio. But anyway, that's by my Italian accent, you know, that comes through. But he's calling from St. Peter's, which I call the synagogue of Satan. But anyway, you know, that's the seriously, you know, I think this is once again, you know, I always smell a rat when it comes to the Roman Catholic Church, and I think that, you know, this is another gimmick in their bag of tricks. You know what I mean?
I don't.
Well, okay, what I'm trying to say is that exorcism is ancient voodoo, okay? Nobody really practices that. That's old stuff. And I also think that, you know, this is what the Vatican does in order to keep their status quo and everybody to think that Satan is real when it's really not. Okay?
Well, I got to give Matt a chance to respond in here somewhere. So do you want him to respond on that one, John?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Respond on that comment. This is just part of the Vatican, the synagogue of Satan's bag of tricks. Matt?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the misconceptions that people have is that if it wasn't for the church, if it wasn't for the Catholic Church saying that demons existed, that nobody would believe in this stuff. And that's completely untrue. In fact, for many years, there have been no exorcists in America, and yet there's thousands and thousands of people who believe in angels and demons. You could say millions of people who believe in the idea that angels and demons can influence people's lives. They're going to actual voodoo witch doctors. They're going to psychics. They're going to psychiatrists who practice things like spirit releasement. This isn't just the Catholic Church on one hand. In fact, in many cases, it's the exorcists who are seeing people coming to them saying, I have a curse put on me, a witch doctor put this curse on me, and it's the exorcist saying, so it's not true. Calm down. You need to relax. There's no such thing. Are you going to church, et cetera? And then it's the person saying, well, then if you're not going to help me, I'm going to go down the street, pay $1,000 to a psychic for a little stone, and my problem's going to go away. So this is much, much bigger than just that.
Bob is in Milwaukee on Coast to Coast for Matt Baglio, The Right. Bob?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to go back to earlier. And Ian, you had a question insofar as why we wouldn't see more atheists that would be possessed. And I would say, wouldn't this be an explanation? Atheists by nature are already away from God. Therefore, like I would look at a or not necessarily satanic, but demonic possession as being turning somebody away, taking somebody with faith or with a faltering faith, and turning them away from God. These people are already away. And therefore, the need for demonic possession, insofar as, you know, the diabolical realm, wouldn't be as necessary.
Yeah, I've heard that argument before. Matt, where are you with that?
Well, thanks for your question, Bob. I mean, I think there are two notions. One is that, well, only Christians become possessed. And that's not true. I mean, the theology behind something that what you were alluding to, Bob, is this idea that when a person distances themselves from God so much to such an extent, then the devil doesn't have to do anything at all. They're already doing everything that the devil wants them to do. It's when that person then decides, you know what, I'm going to reconnect with my faith. And there's been instances when a person has entered a cult, they've become practicing in the occult, and they've embraced that lifestyle, and then they decided, this is wrong, I want to return to my roots, I want to re-enter the faith. And then they start to have these manifestations, their houses, the doors opening and closing, being attacked by this evil spirit, which is then trying to stop them. You know, having said that, though, again, I don't think just being an atheist means that that somebody is being influenced by the devil. I think there's other factors that are going on. But you know, you're not far off when you say if a person's moving away from God, the theology of the church says, then the demon really can just leave them alone.
Margo is in Richmond, Indiana, on Coast to Coast for Matt Baglio. Go ahead, Margo.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to see if maybe Matt had studied some of the information from Father Malachi Martin, who was also an exorcist. I spent many years listening to them. I learned a lot about it. And I learned that exorcists in general, true exorcists, tend to not have such a long lifespan because it really takes a lot out of them. And
is that true, Matt? Is that what you've heard?
Well, you know, all you have to look at is Father Gabriel Amorth. I mean, he's in his 90s. He's been doing this for 30 years, and he claims to have performed more than 30,000 exorcisms or something like that. I mean, I read Malachi Martin's book, but I think that the exorcists I talked to here, they tended to downplay the dangers, the physical dangers to them. There are physical dangers. There are mostly spiritual dangers. They can be, according to what they told me, they can be attacked in many ways. For instance, the earlier example I gave, which is an exorcist who felt the prayer wasn't helping people. He was losing his faith. It was a struggle for him. He characterized that as being a form of attack. So there are various ways that these priests can be attacked. I don't think their bishops would like for them to be exorcists for too long a period of time. It is a very grueling ministry. You're constantly surrounded by people who are suffering, whether or not their suffering is supernatural or natural. Either way, they're suffering. They're coming to these exorcists with, you know, these sad faces, terrible stories, on their wits' end. They need help. They're going to, you know, this exorcist I followed here constantly got text messages saying, I'm going to end my life today, Father. I can't go on any longer. So it is a very tough ministry to go through. But I think that, you know, this idea that the exorcists get grinded down by evil spirits and attacked in such a way that their life itself becomes short, I think didn't match up to the reality that I found.
This may seem an indelicate question, but you know, here I go. Is there any evidence that that exorcisms were used in the treatment of these chronic and serial child molesters that had been using the cover of their collar to victimize children over, we know, generations in some cases? Was that ever used, or do people talk about that as being something that was attempted to cleanse these priests of these horrible crimes?
No, I think that these were just definitely sick individuals who were doing some terrible things, and there wasn't even, as far as I know, any talk about being an exorcism or the devil involved.
Okay, Andrew's in Great Falls, Montana, on Coast to Coast for Matt Baglio, the right. Andrew?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for talking about the subject on the air, by the way. I really appreciate it. I do have some questions, though, and I'm going to go ahead and lay this out, that I have a few bones to pick with the Catholic Church in regards to especially this theologically. when we look in Scripture, the way Jesus cast demons out was by his own authority, and then in the extension of his authority, it wasn't anything the disciples did, and it wasn't some magical formulation.
Why do you say the disciples didn't do it?
I'm sorry, didn't do what, sir?
I say you said the disciples didn't do it. What are you saying they didn't do?
They didn't cast out demons in their own authority as well. It was all in the authority of Christ as he was
right.
As he is God. I've always had bones to pick with the Catholic Church about all these rituals and holy water.
I don't understand if they're doing it in the name of Christ. What's different than the disciples? I don't understand.
I think
Andrew, what you're trying to get at is something that I've heard from other people as well, is this notion that in the Catholic Church, the ritual, it's about invoking the saints and invoking Mary and using holy water.
The question I was getting to was, would you be able to explain the origins in the Catholic Church of like where they got the idea that they needed to do all these rituals in order to exorcise a demon when the disciples used the name of God, used the name of Jesus and the authority that was in that name? And it wasn't just the fact that they used the name, because, again, scripturally we see examples where...
Andrew, that's fine. Let's give a chance to answer the question, because I think it's a fair question. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Andrew. I mean, the power, the ritual, the efficacy of the ritual comes from the name of Jesus Christ. It's plain and simple. The Catholic ritual is based on the name of Jesus Christ. Some exorcists don't use holy water. They invoke the Holy Spirit. They use, and the ritual itself, they use, some exorcists will also invoke saints to come and help them. But in a sense, it's like asking, your people to come to help you, but it isn't through the saint or through the power of Mary that the exorcism has its power. It's through the name of Jesus Christ. And that comes from the Bible, which is passed on. Jesus passes on, as you said, to his disciples. And then the disciples went out and practiced and performed exorcisms. Where I think the distinction becomes the ritual itself, where did the actual prayer come from? Well, that developed over time, and that was eventually put down in the ritual, the Roman ritual in 1614, and it's been slightly modified, but it's really pretty much the same as the 1614 version. And again, it's just about trying to make sure that the priests who perform exorcisms do it kind of in the same way, that they don't freelance, because the church doesn't want to see people who bring in their own sayings and incantations and magic ceremonies, because that is what happened in the past in Christianity, and so they're trying to avoid that by performing the ritual. Some people may take umbrage with that approach, but again, the efficacy of the ritual comes from the name of Jesus.
Yeah, I think that was essentially one of those Protestant Catholic splits on the idea of being able to speak freely from one's own place or in a connection with the divine, as opposed to following along with a pre-prescribed script. So I think he was basically trying to get you to answer to why does the Catholic Church have so many rituals. I think we could just move on from that and just say they just do. And let's just, from that point, find out what else is going to be hanging on the phones, because they're all full again. So maybe you have had an experience with an exorcism. Maybe you have attempted to get an exorcism. Maybe you're one of the many people out there who have gone to their local parish and tried to get an exorcism, when in fact the church can be very stingy with that, as we've heard, that they don't just do that for anybody just because they asked. But whatever your question is, we'll pick it up with Armando in Toronto on the Skype line coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet. All right, so Armando from Toronto, hang on, we'll get to him and you too. I think we have one open wild card line. Grab it now. If you want to talk to Matt Baglio, The Rite, The Making of a Modern Exorcist, you can link up to him through coasttocoastam.com. This is Ian Ponet. Armando is on a Skype line in Toronto, Canada, for Matt Baglio, who's on a phone line in Rome, Italy, on Coast to Coast. Armando?
Hi, my name's Armando. I'm going to talk fast because I don't want to take too much of your time. Since you know a lot about exorcisms and devil influences, I'm a person who used to go to church a lot. I'm Roman Catholic. I used to be the leader of a rosary at a parish over here in Toronto. My son is 4 years old. He got infected at a hospital. He has brain damage. And I have had, like, anger towards God many times. And there's a battle going on in my mind every day. You know, I won't say what I say to God because I don't want to say it over the line, but I've gotten kind of brutal. But something always brings me back. I have had occurrences in my place where I did call a priest, and he did do a blessing and a prayer, and he used holy water. You know, the things that could be explained scientifically, but, you know, a ledge on top of the sink was pulled off. The statue of Jesus Christ was on its face, so on and so forth. But is this my anger? You know, I've tried to be, I'm not saying I haven't done bad things in the past, but all of a sudden this anger that I have toward God and not going to church, mood swings, then it's like I feel like I'm a complete atheist for long periods of time, and then something pulls out my heart to go back to church. In your opinion, is this, am I more vulnerable to the attack of demonic or demons or Satan? Just wanted to ask his opinion on that.
Well, Armando, you know, thank you for your question. I'm very sorry to hear about your personal situation. You know, the best answer I can give you is I can't say. I mean, I'm over here in Rome, and if you're feeling these kind of things going on in your life, the best thing I can say is to try to get, if you feel like you need some spiritual help, somebody to talk to, all those kinds of things. You know, there are some natural reasons for why you're feeling angry. And, you know, if you feel like you should talk to a priest, then definitely talk to a priest. It's a personal thing that's going on with you. It sounds like prayer is helping you, which is good. And don't get too worried about evil and these kinds of things. And it also sounds like something is pulling you back to God, which is a good thing. I mean, in some ways, it's not very different from a lot of the priests that I interviewed. I didn't know much about what a priest has to go through, but they seem to have similar moments in their own life for whatever reason when they feel farther away from God and closer to God. And, you know, I wish you the best in this time in your life.
Susie is in Austin, Texas, on Coast to Coast for Hi. Matt Baglio. Go ahead, Susie.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Ian. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling regarding some of George and Lori's guests have said that people who hang out in bars or use drugs are very susceptible to demonic possession. And I was just wondering if any of Matt's research had borne that out.
Well, I hadn't heard anything about people hanging out in bars. I mean, I guess you mean people who are drinking a lot or something like that. You know, it's there's no predisposition to somebody opening themselves up to an evil spirit. You know, I have heard from some exorcists that heavy drug use, repeated drug use, can sometimes open up a doorway, you know, and very hallucinogenic type of drugs, this kind of things. But again, I think it's more of a life choice involved behind the drug use. And there's other factors involved. So I wouldn't say that it's just anybody going to a bar or going or using drugs, these kind of things. Obviously, you know, alcohol and people should avoid drugs and all of that. But when we're talking about spiritual matters, it's not quite as simple, and it still involves life choices and addictions and those kind of things. So if somebody's obviously giving their life over to something like alcohol, then that's definitely a bad thing.
Eric is in Boston, Massachusetts, on Coast to Coast for Matt Baglio, author of The Right, The Making of a Modern Exorcist. Eric?
Good evening, gentlemen. 3-plus years ago, Reverend Bob Larson was on Coast to Coast at least twice. Since hearing him, I've followed him, and he has a TV show, I think, in England, and I've seen him in person twice. Actually, quick side note, he's having some medical issues, if people could give a quick prayer for him. Anyway, Reverend Larson does a really good job explaining possessions and talks about generational curses. My question for Matt is if he has looked at Reverend Larson or done anything related to him or talked to him in person, what have you, and then what Matt, his thoughts are on generational curses.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to Bob Larson. I know of him, but I haven't spoken to him. I tended to follow Father Gary Thomas, who came here to Rome to take a course and then apprenticed to a senior exorcist. So I was really about following his journey. Who did he talk to? Who did he learn from? So I did talk to many exorcists, but I didn't speak with him. On this thing about generational curses, there are lots of things personally that I find about exorcism to be far-fetched, and though they're believed by exorcists themselves. So, and one of them is the idea of a curse and how it works and these kinds of things. But again, it's not just held by exorcists, it's held by lots of Native societies. And the idea of generational curses, this idea that somebody in the past, in your family, could have done a ritual and cursed somebody and that could have affected them. Well, exorcists, I think, are divided. Some say yes, some say no. It's the same with the idea that a person could become possessed by the spirit of an evil person rather than just the demon. Some exorcists say it's impossible. Theologically, it's impossible. Some say it is possible. I did interview an exorcist that liberated a woman that he claimed had been affected by a ritual that happened in her past and generations in the past. So I think it's a belief that some exorcists in the Catholic Church hold, but it isn't universal. It's somewhat controversial. But I think it, in theologically speaking, they certainly wouldn't rule it out, and they tend to just follow the cases they see in front of them, and still the process of the exorcism would be the same.
Christine is in Sacramento, California, on Coast to Coast for Matt Baglio. Christine,
hi, hi Matt. I read your book when it first came out, and I work for the Catholic Church. I'm one of the people that go in and assess situations before we call in a priest for an exorcism. The thing that I found very interesting in your book, first of all, was I wasn't aware that the college had started up in Rome, and I was really, really happy to see that. I'm 62, and I've been doing this since I was 30, and we didn't have very many priests here that were exorcists in the United States and Mexico, and I've done a lot of work in Mexico. There is one thing, I was called for another reason, but the one thing that the Armando, what he just said about his anger, God would not abandon someone to attack because of their grief, and that's what he's feeling, is grief, and rightly so, because he loves his son. So, no, he should not worry about those things.
Okay. Well, that's a good thought, and I hope that he hears that still, and I hope that'll carry him over. Mario, and thank you, interesting work you're doing. Mario is on the first-time caller line from California on Coast to Coast for Matt Baglio. Mario?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
And you?
My question has to do with satanic music like metal, black metal, death metal. Is it possible to become possessed by it? Because I've had, if you let me share, I have an experience that's happened to me back in 2006. But
Well, if it happened to you, then what do you mean, is it possible?
Well, yeah, because I always got into the lyrics, very occult-type lyrics, and I had an experience back in 2006 where a very frightening thing happened to me. I was in my room, and then the window opened on its own by itself, and no one was – my dogs were right there and nothing. And then later on that week, I saw an angel in the sky, and I was not on drugs or anything, nothing. And when I saw it, tears came. I was grieving inside my mind, and I saw this. And I've been wanting to speak to priests and to tell me why I was able to see this. This angel, very clear. It was a female angel. It touched a little boy, and the halo appeared on its head. But anyway, and they never have any. They never can answer my question. I just want to know if. By me getting into this satanic type of music, the lyrics and all that, I even did music. Could that be why I saw this vision?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, before I answer, I just want to say thank you again to Christine for calling and helping out with Armando. That was very good advice. Mario, in your particular case, you know, there could be other factors going on here. I don't know. I don't know you. Exorcists, you know, of course, satanic music. If you're just listening to music, I would say, you know, it's not enough to perhaps cause these kind of phenomena to happen. However, you know, it sounds like you were engaging in the lyrics and you were getting into the message behind the music. And you were perhaps going into that a little bit deeper. That maybe was what was causing you a little bit of anxiety. I don't know. But it isn't just that you're writing the lyrics down from a song and that you're listening to a song and you're going to see these kinds of things. It could be that there's something else going on here. It doesn't have to be that it's supernatural in nature. But it's more than just a curiosity. It has to be that you go beyond the curiosity and you become really interested to change your behavior to seek even farther down this path.
Mike is in Livermore, California, from Matt Baglio, author of The Rite About Exorcism. Mike, thanks for hanging on Coast to Coast.
Good morning, Ian. Good morning, Matt. Great subject and timely. I have somebody very close to me that I believe is being attacked by demons, waking up in the middle of the night and having demons in her face and, just several other things. But I guess my question is, I don't feel that she's being possessed yet, but I just want to know, just invoking prayer, invoking Jesus Christ, all these things that I've heard, does that help deter the fact that she might be possessed? And my second question is, as you were saying about atheists and Christians, you know, the involvement and how they're picked out to be attacked, she is someone who is dealing with preschool, autistic children of needs. She's doing great work in her life, and she's always done that since she was like 14 years old.
Okay.
Does this type of thing draw the demonic thing to her?
I'm sorry, being a teacher?
Yeah, being a teacher of special needs kids, would that make her especially more vulnerable?
No. Because
she's doing God's work.
No, not at all. So I think your question was, she's seen visions and these kind of things. Has she seen these in the past? Has this been something that she's had problems with before?
No, this just started recently in the last couple months. Things like the typical pin to the bed, can't move, wake up, demonic faces in her face she's seeing. Sitting up in the middle of the night, staring blankly, and her partner looking at her, going, what are you doing? What are you doing? Can't get her attention, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you're asking if you're praying over her, like for her, for Jesus to come down and help her, if that's going to help. Well, you know, I'm sure it would. I don't know enough of what's going on beyond what you just described to say what is really going on. But if she thinks and you think that it would be a good idea for her to go and see a priest, if she's a Catholic, or to go and see her pastor if she's not, then, you know, that may be something that you would want to look at. And taking it slow, not getting too scared about everything, and not ruling out perhaps a natural cause for one,
like
for a reason for why that is happening. But of
like,
course, if you're
like sleep paralysis.
I'm sorry?
Like sleep paralysis.
Yeah, something else that could be going on besides jumping to the demonic. I mean, that's something that the exorcists do. They don't. They try to rule out all the natural causes. If there could be a reason for why these episodes are happening, you know, try to take it slow. But if you want to pray with her, yes, you obviously can do that. And if that there's no, you know, you don't need any approval for that. It's just that you wouldn't perform an exorcism or characterize what she's going through as being demonic until you had taken the cautious steps in order to see if that was really what was going on.
It does sound a little bit like night terrors that children go through. William is in Phoenix, Arizona on Coast to Coast. William?
Hi, very interesting show. Thank you. I'm calling about a shooting that was in Tucson earlier this month.
Right.
Guy by the name of Jared Loughner kind of went off the deep end. There's a lot of question about was he more a right winger or a left winger? But I think he was just a 22-year-old guy trying to find himself. And, you know, he had a shrine in the backyard, which was kind of an occult shrine. And I just picture him. He's known to do a lot of hallucinogens, specifically
right.
a very powerful hallucinogen that's making the rounds in America right now called Salvia Divinorum.
Right.
And I just picture him in his mom's basement, you know, watching these anti-government conspiracy videos, getting high on salvia one too many times and into mind control. And
or he could be like a lot of people who have mental issues. He could be he was self-medicating, which so often happens, especially with schizophrenics or people who are bipolar. They cleave towards something like that because it gives them some control over their experience. You had a question,
yeah.
though?
Well, my question tied into what the woman about five calls, do you think he opened himself up, and when he went through the act of, you know, killing the congresswoman and all the people in the square, that at that point he may have been possessed?
Attempted to kill the congresswoman, yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
You know, I know a little bit about that case, being over here, followed it somewhat. You know, it just seems to me that there's so much clear evidence that this kid was psychotic, was suffering from so many other factors that you don't really, in my opinion, need to go into the demonic and say that this was supernatural in nature. It just seems to me that he was very troubled. I didn't know anything about his drug use, but, you know, that just adds to that
right.
kind of side of it. So I
well,
would say no.
There's always that difference between demon with a big D and demon with a little D. And there's a lot of us running around who all have demons. But it may not be the same type of demons that we read about in The Rite. You can link up to Matt Baglio through our website. You can find the book everywhere, out in paperback now, The Making of a Modern Exorcist. Thank you so much. I know that a lot was getting thrown at you. You are terrific there, Matt. So thank you so much for taking the time to answer those questions so thoroughly, and also for this book. Look forward to whatever you're going to come up with here for a follow-up. Don't know when that's coming out, but I hope you think of us here, so we want to be able to hear more about it when it's time. In the meantime, coming up on Tuesday, I think George has a show on the occult, on the rise of the occult and Satanism. If you're interested in this, you may be interested in that, coming up on Coast to Coast. Deus Tiamat, and I do too.